Paul Halloran, the executive director of the Aganis Games, is joining us here on MSO News Sports, and not a job to take lightly. Paul, welcome.
Hey, Bill, how are you?
I'm good. Well, Paul, Aganis Week kicks off on Sunday. We'll get to that in just a moment with all the games and the highlights for the week ahead and what's going on Sunday. But first up, I know the big part of the Aganis Foundation is the scholarships. Those announcements came out this past week, a day or so ago. So give us an update on the Aganis scholarships.
Well, the big news this year, Bill, is the Aganis Foundation Board of Trustees, which is led by Andrew DeMarcus, the president, really wanted to broaden the impact of these scholarship awards. We have been $1,000 a year for 4 years, for quite a while, over 20 years. And that's significant in itself because most scholarships kids get coming out of high school for just that 1 year. But we announced back right around the holidays that starting this year, each Aganis recipient that we name going forward, starting with the class of 23, will receive $2,000 a year for the 4 years they're in scholarship. So it's now an $8,000 award, which we think is pretty significant.
Well, it's nice to see you guys recognizing inflation, for sure. Yes. But yeah, it's very obviously that's terrific. Any notes, Paul, we have the list on this post of the scholarship winners, but anything you want to share with us on any of the particular scholarships or winners?
Well, I think what I would say, Bill, is one of the minimum requirements to win the scholarship is you have to be a varsity athlete in an MIAA-sanctioned sport. So as the names will definitely ring a bell to people because these kids have all distinguished themselves both in the classroom and on the field. Isabel Betancourt just got through with a tremendous season for Peabody softball. Is going to Bates. Brady Warren, really good three-sport athlete at Lynn Classical, going to St. Anselm to play golf. Penelope Speck, Penny Speck from Peabody, again, coming off that really good softball team. Anna Franguelli from St. Mary's, they made a deep run in the tournament. So it's really kind of what we're trying to do is recognize kids equally for their academic and athletic prowess, with a little bit of a tilt to academics as far as they are evaluated.
All right, absolutely. Well, let's talk about the games or what's coming up on Sunday. But before we do that, you know what I was struck by, Paul? We probably have a bunch of younger listeners listening here. At least everybody's younger than we are, but that's listening for sure. But give me the 60-second Harry Aganis bio, if you could, as it looks here in 2023. What and why we're doing all this for the Aganis Games?
Sure. Well, Harry Aganis was a tremendous athlete at Lynn Classical High School, football, basketball, baseball. Went to Boston University when Boston University was a football powerhouse. Was likely going to be the first-round draft pick of the Cleveland Browns. In those days, the baseball draft was territorial, meaning the teams had the first crack at the players in their area. So Aganis knew that if he went the baseball route as opposed to football, that he would go to the Red Sox. He was a child of a single mother in Lynn, and he went to the baseball route for that reason, knowing that he would be playing in Boston instead of Cleveland. He took sick during the 1955 season. He was hitting .300 as the starting first baseman. Went in the hospital, came out of the hospital, went on a road trip, and then had to come home to go in the hospital again, and unfortunately died what amounts to a blood clot. Nowadays it would be take some blood thinners and you'll be fine, but medicine in 1955 wasn't quite what it is in 2023. So he died in 1955. He was only 28, I believe, and the Boston Red Sox, the Daily Item, and Harold Zimmern of Marblehead, who was a mentor of Aganis, decided to try to, you know, carry forth his memory by starting this foundation. And, you know, here we are 68 years later.
And I would just add two notes to that is that the day of his funeral was a huge event in the city of Lynn when that happened, and that the Cleveland Brown piece that you mentioned, Paul, that was Paul Brown of the Browns running the team, and and that was a great team at the time. I mean, that was a that was a formidable football team, and so these were he was in pretty good company with his athletic achievements for sure. Yeah.
He sure was. And you know, you mentioned the funeral, Bill, and there were 1,000 in the church, 3,000 in the church hall, 6,000 out on the street, and 20,000 lining the streets between St. George Greek Orthodox Church and Pine Grove Cemetery. So it was a big deal, for sure.
So let's move now to Sunday, 9 a.m. at, I assume it's Manning Field, right? Yeah, Manning Field. You'll have the award ceremony, and I think some of this stems from what we just talked about, some of the awards that are there, that are here now for 2023. So tell us about Sunday morning.
Sure. So, yeah, Sunday morning we get a lot accomplished. We present the scholarships to this year's winners. We present five major awards to the foundation, and they are the Attorney Charles DeMarcus Heritage Award to someone of Greek heritage who advances the Aganis Foundation ideals, the Dr. Elmo Benedetto Athletics Award named for the late Lynn Athletic Director, you know, someone who embodies what Benedetto did, which was his dedication to student athletes. The David Widener Media Award, of which I believe you are the 2000 recipient, Bill. The year 2000, not the 2000. The David Widener Media Award named for a very promising young sports writer at the Item who died very, very young and tragically of a heart attack in 1992. That goes to a media member who's been especially supportive. The Harold O. Zimmern Foundation Award. I mentioned Harold was one of the three entities who started the foundation. There was an award named for him. And the Paul F. Kavanaugh Community Award. Paul F. Kavanaugh was a Lynn English grad, BC football player, a real, real top FBI agent. And he died in a plane crash while on assignment for the FBI. So we'll award those five awards in their names. And we also will introduce all of this year's athletes in the various games.
All right, so let's just go through the games, and we're not going to blow through everything time-wise. The posts and the times are right down below here on this post. But, Paul, Sunday there are four games altogether. You got a girls and boys lacrosse games at Manning Field, and you also have the all-star softball and baseball games at Frazier Field.
Yes. Yeah, I've kind of gone back and forth. We used to do just baseball, softball. Then 2 years ago I got very ambitious and did six of the games on Sunday, and that was a tad much. So we're kind of in the middle, and you know, as you know, Bill, we have the luxury of having, you know, some of the top high school athletic facilities in the state at our disposal, so we're able to play a staggered start softball, baseball doubleheader, and the girls and boys lacrosse. So we'll do the girls and boys lacrosse at 11-1, and the softball and baseball next door at Frazier at 12-2.
Gotcha. Okay. And on Monday, it's inside for the basketball games, the girls' game and the boys' games, both at Lynn Classical High School at 5:30 and 7, respectively. So that's pretty straightforward on Monday.
Yeah, Monday's the day it can rain, Bill, of the 4 days. We're happy to have rain on Monday.
Let's hope that's the case for everybody, even the gardeners. That would be perfect, right? And then Tuesday, you got the soccer games at Manning Field at 5:30 and 7. Any thoughts on any notes there from soccer?
Well, we have Sean Blue of Newburyport, Lynn guy. I'm glad you mentioned that, Bill, because I noticed the typo in the roster as I'm looking at it on the program page here. So thank you. Thank you for your help with that, Bill.
I'm pretty good at editing, Paul.
Even when you don't know it.
Exactly. That's the only time I'm good at it, yeah.
So they won the state title, and he comes home to Lynn to coach, which is a nice story. And the first-year coach, Eddie Mercy Kasake at St. Mary's, will handle the other boys' team. We'll play the boys first. Jimmy Foley, who's the very successful St. Mary's coach, does a great job running the two soccer games for me. He will again run the girls' game. and Jessica Gambale of Lynn Classical. They had a phenomenal, I believe they were undefeated in the regular season. I think they had a tie or two. She'll guide one of the girls' soccer teams.
All right, and I know that the rosters will be coming out as well and all of this stuff, but let's just jump to football, the big football game Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at Manning Field. And so, Paul, who are the coaches this year in the Aganis football game?
So we have Matt Bouchard of Salem. They had really a resurgence this year, as you know. I know you would know better than me. You covered the games. They had a really improved regular season, so he's going to guide the North team. And Lou Ciccatelli, who does a very solid job year in and year out at Revere, will be coaching the South team. The North team, they both have started. The North team started Monday night. They're practicing at Manning Field. And Lou Ciccatelli is practicing at the Revere High Stadium, Della Russo Stadium. And they just started last night. And they'll both practice through next Tuesday. And the kickoff will be next Wednesday.
Yep. Yeah, two great coaches there, two great people as coaches as well, for sure. So that's terrific. That's a great piece. You know, I don't want to get into all the players with you at all, but is there a player or a note you could share for us about the football game?
Well, I think David Brown Jr., Bill. David Brown Jr. of St. Mary's is a real top student, top player. You know, he's been starting on the basketball team for his father since he was in middle school at St. Mary. I believe he started as a freshman, played in the Garden as a freshman, I believe, has won a state title. And this year got banged up in football and came back. And, you know, I believe he scored all four touchdowns in the Super Bowl, the Super Bowl win. He's heading to Bentley to play football. He had a pick between football and basketball. He chose football. And he really kind of, if we're trying to embody what we're looking for in a student athlete, as far as his academic ability, his athletic ability, and the type of kid he is, he really is the total package. And I would certainly highlight him as one of our top guys, and he'll be playing on the North team for Matt Bouchard.
All right, one last question for me, Paul, would be tickets, because I have a note here on our post that you can go to the website for tickets, but you can also get them in person on game nights, right?
Yes, so it's AganisFoundation.com. You can buy them, and you know you'll have the QR code on your phone. We will sell them at the gate, which really, you know, is not an issue. Football. You know, the 10 minutes before the football game, the gate gets pretty crazy. So I think people are more and more conditioned to buying online. The MIAA now, once you get to, I think, the round of eight, that's your only option to buy tickets. So people are really being conditioned to get them online. So, you know, we'll do it either way, obviously, but probably easier for everyone to get them online. But if you want to get them at the gate, it is cash only at the gate. If you show up at the gate with a credit card, we're going to tell you to go on your phone and buy it online.
Fair enough. All right. Well, Paul, is there anything else you want to share with us about the Aganis week that kicks off on Sunday? Actually, it doesn't go for a full week, but it's pretty much a week, 4 out of 7 days, right? So there you go.
Well, it feels like a month, Bill. I can tell you that.
Aganis month, right? Exactly.
No, just, you know, we appreciate the support. You know, it's a challenge. To keep something going, you know, for this amount of time. You know, the first football game was played in 1956, the year after Aganis died. And from 56 to 94, I believe, it was only football. And then, you know, then we started adding, and now here we are at 9 games. So it really, other than maybe the Bay State games, which I think is, you know, diminished a little bit, it really is kind of a unique festival.
You know, my last story to share with you, Paul, is back when I was at WESX many years ago. Elmo Benedetto, who was then athletic director in Lynn, and you just referenced him a moment ago, who was spearheaded this football game, and when it was only a football game, but it was a big thing, you know, got me involved with some things. I did a series of interviews, but, you know, I got hooked and attached to it because of knowing the Harry Aganis story himself, off the field, on the field, and so on. And I think that that's a message that probably a lot of the high school kids may not know that all that well, but hopefully they will soon, for sure.
Yeah, I agree, Bill. Elmo really, between him and Harold Zimmern, it was really a two-man show for quite a while. So,
No, you're right. He did, and yeah, Elmo did a lot of all the game stuff, but Harold was doing a lot of the game stuff too, I'm sure, at that point. Sure, yeah.
Yeah, Elmo really ran the football game, and Harold was in it with him. But, yeah. You know, but now running nine games, we have a few more people involved.
Well, that's the way. Yeah, and a few good people. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Paul, thanks so much for your time, and have a great week, and hopefully we'll stay in touch.
Okay, Bill. Thank you for your help.
Yep, you got it. Paul Halloran with us, the executive director of Gannis Games here on MSONewsSports.com.